Hello and welcome to listen to my podcast in English for the very first time. So today I had a visitor, my friend, very good friend Niels. We talked about lots of different things about NFTs, basically what are they, to explain it, maybe for the people who doesn't know so much about it. We showcased some cool ways how NFTs can be used and what excites us the most, why we are so bullish on NFTs. We discussed some cool statistic numbers. We talked about our visit to Non-Fungible Conference in Portugal, Lisbon, and we talked topics like what are the biggest concerns regarding the industry, and then just discuss some cool ideas to fun around a bit. I hope you really enjoyed the episode, and if you liked it, then subscribe and all this stuff. Enjoy. Looks like it is running. Hello, Niels.
Hello.
Thank you for taking the time to come and visit me to talk this nerdy topic of NFTs. Before we start with everything, tell who you are, why, where are you from, and why are you here?
Yeah, that's a good question. My name is Niels. I'm originally from Amsterdam and moved to Tallinn almost 2 years ago. It's the classical story of having a girlfriend here, and I guess also a combination of a good tax system. I guess that's why I'm here at the moment.
Okay. Well, we got to know each other mainly because of the, or like we got connected mainly because of the NFTs.
Yeah.
I asked you first time when we met, do you know what NFT is? And then you said, yeah, I own some. And I was very amazed because I think you might have been, you were first person who I ever met randomly who owns an NFT or something like this.
Felt special, yeah.
Yeah, it was a special moment for me. And to share this, what I feel about, or like the excitement that I feel about this. But before we get to NFTs, maybe you can talk about a bit, how did you get into NFTs? And I know you've got to crypto before this, so maybe tell your origin story, like how did it start?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bought my first Bitcoin in 2016, and kind of realized very soon after that this is kind of the new future. And I realized that this could become the new standard for payments, personal finances, investments, etc. And that's how I started to dig deeper into cryptos and kind of seeing it as this startup investing, almost like you're doing a lot of research into the coins, the companies behind it, the future plans. Kind of the same as NFTs at the moment, but I bought a couple of extra coins like Ethereum, XRP, Cardano, and since then hodling a lot. Still believing that this is the future for the upcoming 5 to 10 years, but that's kind of how I rolled into crypto.
Yeah, it's very like a smooth story, but like, how did you, like, what made you believe that it's gonna be the thing, or why did you believe in this?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, many industries have been here for so many years and everything is relatively stable. Although if you look at the stock market at the moment, it's not even, but back then it was, and a lot of people were making a lot of money, but also because they had a lot of investments behind that. And crypto was kind of an industry where you can start with a very small budget and make in the end still a big investment. So yeah, you were one of the first believers around that time to step in, but I kind of felt that this was going to be the new way of investing and the new way of doing finances. So why not give it a try? And I stepped in relatively small, but soon realized that if I want to become, let's say, one of the biggest players and influencers in this field, which back then I had the dream to do so, I need to go all in. And that's kind of how I went all into it. Because I didn't feel much of a difference like between any other industries. I had so much passion towards this industry and felt that this was going to be it. So, yeah, I didn't want to put my money in other industries at that moment. Sounds maybe a bit weird, but that was the reality back then.
Yeah, yeah, because now it's cool to say it and like to... It made sense, or it makes sense now, right? But it didn't make so much sense back then, maybe, like, because then, yeah, crypto was half of what it is now, if even that is. But my question would be also this, that I don't know even so good about the history of crypto, but you went through a couple of crises as well, right? How did you felt about, like, the first time when everything was in red and you didn't know so much? How was there this like, fuck, yeah, it's not as easy as I thought, or like, yeah, tell me about this.
Yeah, for sure. I've thought about selling a lot of times, but I think in the end that's the key to investments. Like, you need to invest long term and not short term. Of course, there are people that are doing it short term and they promise, like, I don't know, 10 times returns and a lot of profit, but it doesn't work like that for the gross of everyone investing. And if you believe in something long term, it's much easier to hold and also, yeah, not sell in, let's say, terrific or like horrible times, let's say. So I would say that this is the key to investments and, yeah, something that I felt very uncomfortable with, but became comfortable with as it happened multiple times. As it happened for a lot of people, so yeah.
Yeah, and this experience probably comes very handy in NFT industry as well. So you have like experience that's very much needed in the industry. And NFTs are the reason why we are here today, and that's what we're gonna talk about. So let's try to explain, to give our best to explain what is an NFT.
Yeah, that's a question that a lot of people ask and are still struggling with. I try to do my best in explaining this, but what I see NFTs in is kind of a way to express yourself, not necessarily only as the creator, but also as the collector. So you buy in almost into something that you believe in, that you see fit in, that you want to see evolve. And I think that's very much about NFTs. At this moment, I think it can very much evolve as well. And there are different ways of monetizing your NFTs, utilizing your NFTs. So in general, I think NFTs is all about giving you access to certain communities, certain...
I think you're going in maybe even too deep already.
Yeah. Like, might be.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So let's start maybe from there. Okay, it stands for non-fungible token.
Yeah.
Which means that it's not replaceable basically, and it's proven that only you can own this one asset that we call NFT in internet basically, and this works thanks to the blockchain technology. So that's the starting point maybe. And what's the, like, there is so much of this talk that, oh, I can do a screenshot and everybody can see this JPEG. And, like, it's such a difficult topic in this way that I feel like there is, like, people with different kind of brains, or I don't know how to see it, but some people see it completely one way and others people see it completely other way. So what's your take on, like... what is an NFT in this way that is it like similar to something that has existed before, or like is it completely new thing?
I think it's something that has existed before, but almost in a new jacket. So like if you look at owning an NFT, what does that mean? Yeah, of course people can screenshot your JPEG or your NFT, right? But owning it is a very different story. Like if you look at copyrights, for example, like if you're a photographer and you make a photo, this is your photo. This is something that can be copyrighted by you. And this means that people can use it if they give you certain rewards or certain benefits, but they can't just use it without your admission and granted access, basically. So I still see it almost as like this new copyright law where you own something on the blockchain. Of course, it's very different, right? Because back in the days, if you used a piece of a video or an image from someone, you could be sued and you could be going to in front of a judge. But right now, it's not that with NFTs, right? It's that not there yet. So, but at one point, it will go there. Like if people start to misuse, for example, one of the bigger NFTs, it could get into this. But that's why people still don't see those risks and kind of don't see take it seriously, let's say.
It is such a complicated topic in this way that NFT can be a thousand things, and like to really like explain it, it's like a hell of a job in this way. Like, but how one of the ways that I am explaining this for myself, or like how I discovered like NFTs could also work and it is working, is that basically NFTs are also a new form of crowdfunding, right? Like a company, or like, let's say that I was also thinking this, that when back then, like 20 years ago, there was where traditional companies, then rebranding for like new companies were startups. And now it almost feels like that the newest form of companies are NFT projects. And behind those projects are usually companies, but the NFT project becomes a brand itself, right? And this brand itself, you like collect money through this. For example, I don't know, we can talk about Moonbirds that did a hell of a job of raising, I don't know how many, more than 100 millions of euros. And they said it before even to start it, like we're going to reinvest everything into the company to start to build the utilities and all the stuff behind the project. So that's one of the way, right, that how it's gonna play out.
Yeah, but that's also one of the things that gives this power, right? It's almost like you give power to the people to invest in things that couldn't have been in the past, right? In the past, it was a very traditional way of investing, like VCs coming involved, angel investors, a relatively elite group of the society in that sense. And with NFTs, those possibilities are unlimited almost. Like nowadays, you can buy into projects for a couple of dollars almost. And of course, there are very big differences within this industry as well. But it definitely says something about the way of investing and the way people can kind of build their companies. And of course, right now it's an NFT company, but maybe in the future this will turn out to be the new way of investing, right?
Yeah. And now we're going to get to the part that you were earlier about, that you can show off you and like yourself, who you are as a person, and what do you believe in, and what project do you support, exactly like how we are like dressing up to show who we are, driving a car to show who we are. Like maybe we don't think about this like consciously, but subconsciously we're doing all of those decisions, right, to just show our character and who we are. And that's actually like a super important part of NFTs, actually. Even if we don't like to think about this way, we are we are very social animals. And I was thinking about this one day, that if you have a golden toilet at home, not many people are gonna see it. If you have cool sneakers, a little bit more people are gonna see it in the street. If you have like a newest model of Tesla, maybe even a little bit more people are gonna see it in traffic, right? But NFT, that's gonna be your profile picture or whatever, maybe even integrated into Instagram, like, I don't know, we're gonna have a feed of NFTs there, right? This is gonna be seen about like thousands, if not millions of people, right? Or like as possibility to be. And that's very important part of this all, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very much about like how can you showcase it and how can you leverage your own brand almost, right? Like it's what you feel associated with, how you want to be seen. And indeed, like if once we will see the shift in Instagram that people change their profile pictures, it could reach up to millions and millions of people. Even if you have only a couple hundred followers, right? Like your reach could reach up to thousands of people, let's say, in that sense.
Yeah. next thing that comes to my mind was interesting, and maybe if people are not so into NFTs right now and don't know what we're talking about, is the IP rights that you get with some projects, not with all projects, but you can so you can basically do what you want with your NFT. And I'm a proud owner of one project called Word of Woman, and they are the one project that gives out IP to their users, which means this, that my picture, my JPEG that I have, I can do pretty much everything what I want with it, right? And there is like very many good showcases already when World of Women holders are starting their own like products, like real life products, maybe like somebody were doing tea. I think there is like, of course, like clothes, there are even wine, I think. And it doesn't sound like such a big thing now if you doesn't understand what I'm talking about, but this is one of the most popular project, especially in women NFT side, you know, like and what this means is like you're gonna get free marketing from this community or like the project itself, and then you're gonna get also a huge community behind you. So it's like such a like a new way of like building an ecosystem almost, where like you have this tribe of people who are all into one thing and everybody's hyping up your product and whatsoever. Like it's this is also the part that was, wow, this is very interesting. Like maybe one day there is gonna be it's gonna be a huge project. Like why I'm so into this project, like for example, like Eva Longoria, Reese Witherspoon, like A-list celebrities are holding this NFT, right? And yeah, they are doing, like they are the ambassadors for this. So let's say like in 5 to 10 years, this is something really big. And then I can sell the rights for some Estonian makeup company to put this woman in there, and I can get like royalties or whatever, like profits from a small part of this. So like the possibilities, right? It's like such a wide like just road, and we don't know what's coming. So yeah, but maybe you could tell me about some other good showcases which excites you right now, and what are maybe the interesting ways to use NFTs.
Yeah, so actually I wanted to give one example with the IP rights as well, because yeah, you probably know the most common one, the apes that have been sold for yeah, sometimes even millions of dollars. They're going to make a movie about like some of their apes. And there's this film director that is literally doing auditions for some apes. And you could get a significant amount of money to just lend out your ape to this film director to make a movie.
It's a Bored Ape Yacht Club that you're talking about.
Yes, correct. Yeah, and I think that's just a funny example of how things could work out, right? And it's the same with another collection that is called V Friends Series 2. They have a lot of like cartoon figures and anime characters almost. And if you imagine just like how many cartoons there are for kids, how many advertisements are being used with cartoon-like characters, it's unbelievable. And imagine that just these characters can be at one moment from this collection. And I think that's really inspiring to think about those kind of use cases for IP rights. I think then, like in terms of like use cases, other use cases, I think what we talked about before about like investing, I think right now what you see is that there are a lot of communities kind of acting as investor groups. So people come together and share like tips, they share like new projects coming up, and they really want to make their portfolio better. I think this could really be kind of like serving as the middleman in the traditional industry of investing. So yeah, I think these two are for me like super big. Then of course, one of the other use cases is the in real life events and showcases. A couple of years ago, we saw a big trend, of course, like everything going digital. Well, in Estonia, it's already almost the standard. But yeah, right now we are so, yeah, we're kind of trying to make a step back, right, and maybe go even more like to the local foods, having more connection with real life, being closer to nature, and I think COVID has definitely accelerated that that trend. And that's also what we see in the NFT communities. They want to kind of bound the in real life benefits with the digital communities as well. So they want to create like events for the community. They want to, yeah, maybe even make like parties or give exclusive access to certain DJ parties. And that's how people kind of want to be part of those communities as well, right? Like if they give those benefits to those holders and collectors, then yeah, it's getting more value in real life as well, right? Not just on this picture on your screen, basically.
Yeah, definitely. This is one of the things. And what comes to my mind is, I try to like think it like broader and see like what is in this, like what, okay, it excites me, but what is there that is this like factor or indicator that makes me like it very much. And what I realized is that NFTs are such a good way to invest in people, and that in many ways, actually. Not only that you can invest in an artist that is doing the NFT project or like the company or like the team behind the project. This is like one way you can invest in people. But the other way is complete opposite, that let's say that there is going to be a collecting cards. Like I'm a huge fan of road cycling, right? So I'm rooting for that there is going to be a collection series of like a real life cyclist in this way with teams. And then I can buy this card, you know, of this guy, and then invest in him or her, like whoever the athlete is going to be. And then hope I can maybe sell it or whatever, the card in the future, for a huge profit when this guy is going to be a superstar, right? The Tour de France winner or something like this. And like how much in general the different projects are making like our everyday life and our hobbies more entertaining. What I'm talking about now, a couple of weeks ago we went to non-fungible conference in Portugal, Lissabon, and we saw there was those little pop-up boxes for NFTs, and then there was this, you remember this music project, I think it was NF Stars or like something, Nuff Stars, I think it was. And what they were doing, if I remember correctly, basically you can bet, like in this sense that you take like a musician artist, and then you like are gonna be like a manager yourself. You're gonna put together your team or like artist you manage, so to say, and then you're gonna get points according to this, how many plays they get in Spotify, how many likes or like they get in Instagram, plus like I don't even know how the system fully works. But like imagine like this, like how cool is this that you're super into music, and this is how you can like see if you're actually good at this also, you know, spotting a new talent and stuff like this. And you can do it in real life. It's not like some simulation, right? You can just directly invest to people. And that's such a fucking powerful thing that's never been there before, actually, for a normal guy. Like 10 years ago, we couldn't like invest in some rapper, you know, or whatever, even though we were like, oh yeah, this is gonna be the guy, this is gonna be the guy. So that's such a huge thing. And yeah, in sports side, it's gonna change the complete industry in this way. The sports betting industry in this way, that it's gonna be this mild psychological change that people are gonna feel that, oh, I'm investing in this player and I'm gonna put this into my fantasy team, and now I have a like possibility to win money. But you don't see this as a gambling, and like that's also very interesting.
You're almost not betting on one match, but you're betting on this player's career almost, right? Like you are becoming almost the player manager. And it's the same as with the music that you were just talking about. Like you are the middleman suddenly. Like you can become an artist manager, you can become the record label almost. I think that's the same way as you can connect it with the investment groups. Like, it's, you can be whoever you want. It just depends on how you invest your money. And
yeah, it's exactly the middleman thing. I've heard it so much, actually, that it's going to take out the middleman from every industry, basically. But the truth is that everybody is going to have a chance to be the middleman, which is actually the thing that I've never thought through. Like, yeah, so it is very, very valid point.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
But let's talk about what else did we see in non-fungible conference Lisbon? Like, that was an interesting experience in this way that you can see for the first time the real faces behind the, I don't know, Discord, like usernames or wallet addresses, right? And I think it was a really cool experience. What do you think?
I think it was super cool. The main thing that just stuck in my mind for the last couple of weeks after this this conference is that just everyone there is so passionate. Like, everyone is passionate. It doesn't matter if you're talking with a developer, a founder, a collector. Everyone is so passionate about making this industry successful. And I think that's also a sign that we're still early. A lot of people want to take big risks and start new things, which is great. And I think we need that, definitely. But so many smart and passionate people. It's unreal. Yeah.
And it was like interesting also. Like, I had like this kind of pre-assumption maybe that I didn't even like create intentionally. But I thought that there is going to be rather younger people, maybe this, like, how to say, even like crypto vibe in this way, that young guys like showing off, I don't know, something, whatever, like, you get the picture. But the reality was that there was like so many, like, even more mature people. Like, do you remember this one lawyer, this woman that was maybe like in her 50s or something, like, mm-hmm. this, like, and
good
she,
looking lady.
Yeah, exactly. And she ask like such like thought through questions about like topics that I didn't even know that exist in like different conferences, and I was like, wow, this is like a real thing. Or like when there was this guy from Flamingo DAO, do you remember? Yeah. Like, also not a gentleman in his 20s, and he was talking about how they are doing their investments in so Flamingo DAO is basically one of the most popular or like most like successful in this way NFT bunch of collectors. I think there is like 70 or something like this people, definitely under 100, and they own, this is the fact that I remember, they own more than 1 billion net worth of NFTs, which is like very crazy to think. And anyway, you see that those people exist, and you see that they are smart people. And to be honest, like, when people are like, when somebody would ask from me, like, why am I so into NFTs, or like, why do I believe in, I wouldn't give like this complicated answer of like utilities and whatsoever, and like, I don't know, there's so much potential. My main thing is that I see so many smart people, exactly, passionate people who are doing this, who are like skipping their like tasks or like projects that they were doing before it, and just doing everything to catch the wave. And that's also a saying I've heard, that like be really like aware where the developers are going, because this is what's gonna be the
next big thing.
Exactly. And like all the statistics are pretty much supporting this, right? Do you have some numbers what we can talk about, maybe some stats about the NFT world?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I think one of the funny things that you just mentioned about age, like, a lot of people ask me also, like, what is the age group that is into NFTs, like, and it's obviously, I think it's mainly millennials at the moment, I would say. Like, there's one survey actually in the US they did, and I think 23% of all millennials are owning an NFT, which is a quarter almost of total, and that's an insane number, I would say. And a lot of other countries are kind of following trends of the US, so I think we can definitely look as an example to that. But it definitely says something about also like the upcoming generations. Like, we are millennials, but we are also, we are quite tech savvy. We can manage on the computers and we can do our investigations. We know how things work. But the generations that are coming are even smarter with these things. Like, they have been years and years with technology. So I think for them it will become even more native. So yeah, this is also one of the signs for me that this is a market that will be in the long term.
And that's actually a very interesting like topic, in also this way that there is like studies that say that millennials and Gen Z, especially Gen Z, actually I think it's more about them, don't own like anything in real world in this way. They don't own houses, apartments, like it's ridiculously expensive as well, right? And they don't own even cars, like people, all stuff like this. But maybe this is gonna be completely like replaced with digital assets, or like for some time at least. Like it's gonna be really funny if you feel like it's not gonna bring you any utility. But who the fuck knows? Maybe in the future, it's gonna be like this, that you know, the Bolt drive car is gonna be with NFT, you know, whatsoever. Like it's everything can be like owned digitally, or there is gonna be like the hottest nightclub in town, and there is gonna be only 5,000 people who are gonna get this access, so to say. And imagine this, like you have this and you can show it off in your Instagram for people, like, yeah, I'm the guy who can go into this club, you know, like this is what's gonna be hot. And I can see it play out so well in this way. But yeah, those are very interesting stats.
Yeah, of course it comes with time, and generations are a long time, but I mean it's good to look into the future, right? I mean it's good to think long term, let's say.
Yeah. We are making very bold predictions, but we are talking very like confidently about this, but I hope that it plays out. I was thinking about this one day that nowadays in startups and stuff like this, they have like very good like perks, and so to say, I don't know, you can get this, I don't know, ping pong tables in office, you can have like snacks, you can have like 3 days off, you can have 500 worth of, I don't know, office equipment at home. But then I was thinking, I don't know if how it was in Netherlands, but my mom in 90s got an apartment from the job.
Oh wow.
And this was like a common thing actually. Uh-huh. Because you go somewhere and they just give you this like one of the apartment in there. How about this now? Like those perks right now aren't shit. And what I'm going with this is that I hear it so much nowadays from my friends, are like, what the fuck, we can't buy any apartment, like it's ridiculous price, you know. Yeah. Like our parents were so lucky and stuff like this. But I'm starting to think this, that yeah, but we are the one who are the same with NFTs maybe. You know, like they're gonna be like, fuck, my parents had an opportunity to buy this ape with this price and those fuckers didn't do it, or whatever, and or they did, and we can't have any of those NFTs with normal price, you know. Mm-hmm. What I mean. Mm-hmm. So maybe this is gonna be like the equivalent for the apartment thing with my mom.
You can't live on your NFT though, but maybe we will make real estate work with NFTs. I mean, it's already happening, so I guess we can. Yeah.
But are there some other big numbers that you wanna share?
I think there was one interesting fact that I came across with on the internet, and actually in Thailand, I'm sure many of you have been on a holiday once in Thailand, but actually, 30% of the women there are owning an NFT, apparently. And this is higher than the amount that men are owning. So I think this is really interesting to see. and one of the few countries that it's happening. I think a lot of people have a lot of assumptions that it's only men. Probably it is at the moment, but I think there's definitely a shift happening. And even on the conference, I think we already saw it, like a lot of women with interest and collectors and even founders. So yeah, I just found this super intriguing. I mean, it's something that we're always aiming for, right? Like equality and being yourself and no matter the gender, the age or whatever. I think this industry is very much about like being yourself, no matter what age, gender or whatever you're coming from.
Yeah, so, that's one of the interesting parts about this industry as well, that it's pretty well spread around the world in this way that it's not only the topic of USA, you know, like I don't remember, like this play to earn is very popular in Indonesia or somewhere like this, right? Like,
Philippines, yeah.
Philippines, yeah, okay. Like, I don't know if you can name those as a third world countries, but also like a little bit poorer countries are taking like the advantages of the industry and its possibilities. And that's actually very like cool to see that it's not only like a play field of like rich white dudes or whatever, you know, even though it very much also is so far in some way at least, but it's but those numbers like we saw in the conference, like how big the market itself is, right? This is like crazy. I think it was like $55 billion per year. Like it's crazy that there is so much money in this, and like it doesn't still make sense to me, to be honest, like how it can be. And like there is so much talk about, I don't know, money laundering and stuff like this, and definitely there is some part of this, like I'm not gonna be delusional at all, like if it's not only like the best people or like the most honest people, but exactly like everywhere in every area of life there is like shitty people. There is also in NFT and in Web3 part, but yeah, is there something else about the conference?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just for us to, well, it kind of has to do with like accepting everyone, right? Like we went there with the two of us, but actually we made a lot of friends there. I mean, it didn't really matter where you were coming from. Like they were coming all of Europe and some even outside. And yeah, you just have this instant connection, it almost seems like. And I think that everyone accepts who they are, and yeah, you can just be yourself if you're having a cap on during dinner or if you're having sunglasses on while meeting. I mean, like some social standards, for example, in Estonia, like they don't necessarily mean that it is worldwide. And I think that's the power of NFT. Like everyone can be themselves. There are certain values that, that just are different, I guess. And I think that's what I like. Like everyone can be themselves and don't have to act differently for others, let's say.
Yeah. And like I was so happy to see like so much, especially like-minded people as myself. Like I really enjoy thinking about ideas and stuff like this. And then we were sitting in this one table after one in the party, I think somewhere, and we were just randomly talking about some ideas. And then for the first time, like other people were faster about thinking about like, I don't know, additions to the ideas and extensions, like to the idea was just growing. And I was just in the side there, what? I've never been in a conversation like this before. And this is what I personally like about this in my journey very much, that I enjoy being the most stupid person in the table. And this is what I felt there. And like, it's a good feeling where to be, because then you're at least, evolving and developing yourself the most. And yeah, ideas is the name of the game for me. And like, that's the reason there is so much of those ideas that are possible to execute. And actually, this is the part where maybe I tell you this idea that I have. I don't know if I told you this already. I think no. But I try to do, because I think it's pretty good, cool. So, you know, there is already those NFT projects that basically you buy an NFT and then they buy those miners. And so you buy like a part of this miner and then you're going to get like a passive income, so to say, right? So you don't have to buy miner yourself. So you can, it's the easier way to do it, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was thinking like further from there. So let's say that we do this in here, Tallinn, and we buy a bunch of those miners and we create a gym. And this gym has a room for hot yoga and those miners are heating up the room. So, and the whole place, you know. So you can go to have a workout and a hot yoga like in some superb, like tropical, like imagine dark a room with plants and stuff like this, and it's all heated with those miners because I know that this makes really much heat. And yeah, so that's the thing, that you buy this, there is like, I don't know, whatever it would make it profitable enough, like 5,000 NFTs, maybe less, and then this is like this exclusive club that you can go into and have a workouts there and then feel the warm air that you know is making you the money at the same time. What do you think about it?
It's an interesting idea. I'm not sure if I would execute on it, but it's definitely fun. I mean, I was even thinking about a warm pool during winter times, right? That you go like...
exactly. Like, yeah, it can have a pool in a rooftop, which is like constantly... Okay, maybe it's not going so hot, but like... ideas like this, I think, are so cool. Like you can bring the utilities to next level all the time, almost, you know, like and just they're endless. Yeah, but so we are being we have been hyping up the NFTs and how good and cool it is and how much we love it. But maybe now it's time to talk about the concerns regarding the industry right now, and yeah, what do you see in it? That's danger for it all.
Yeah, obviously, I think the main topics at the moment are taxes, especially in the States. We have security, and yeah, I think these two are even the biggest at the moment. I think security is probably the biggest one at the moment. Like, how do you make sure that your assets are safe, and how do you make sure that you, that this project that you just bought into, that it's not just a scam, or that you're signing on a wrong website and you lose some of your NFTs? I think this is what scares people the most, and that's probably also what gets a lot of commotion and publications on the internet. So that's what people read about, right? Like, that's the latest hack, for example, with Bored Apes Club. I think their Instagram was hacked, and I think a couple of people were the victims there. But that's what people read. Those headlines is what they read. Like, oh, 100 million stolen from these collectors. And that's definitely harming the industry a lot, I would say. And a lot of people are working on this to make this better, but yeah, this is definitely a downside at the moment. And it's not like a one solution fits all, right? Like, it's something that has to be developed over time, and we have to integrate in every step that we're doing within this world, and hopefully slowly gets better.
Yeah. And what maybe... Yeah, those headlines are one thing, but there is also this part that it is just how it is in this way, that you have to pay the price for being free in this way, like to not have to be like able to be anonymous, like to be able to hold your own assets in this way, to be like full owner, like, so to say. Like, that's why that's one of the big part of Web3 right now, that you are the owner of your assets. Like, if you put your things into bank, then actually bank is the older, like the bank is the middleman, right? So, and the crypto and NFTs like help you to like cut out the middleman again, right? But now the thing is that you are gonna be fully responsible for this, and like, it's not very nice situation to be in. Like, I also have like this Ledger, you know, cold wallet, which means that I can have like my assets like offline, basically, so you can't hack it in internet, but still you have to hold those things in real life somehow, somewhere. And this is a new challenge, completely like what occurs. But this is exactly the price that I'm talking about, you know, like you can't have it all, that it's super like comfortable and works the best. And yeah, definitely we are in such early times right now that you have to be super careful about how you do things. And like there's so much learning to be done every day for yourself, and like because things are changing so fast, new security risks are emerging like constantly. It's a real I think Wild West is what we can say right now about this, right? So yeah, those are good points.
Yeah, I mean, it's just also like right now we're kind of talking as nerds about like this NFT topic, right? And I think a lot of people want to know more about it, but yeah, don't know too much about it or haven't jumped into it yet. But yeah, I think also like it. I think one of the people on the conference asked like a very valid question, like how do we onboard, let's say, like 100 million people in this industry? Like what do we need? And if you look at what we have at the moment, it's definitely not reaching 100 million people. Like it's difficult to set up a wallet. It's hard to do transfers. It's definitely not easy if you're not knowing what to do. So yeah, we should think about those questions, but it's far away still, I think.
No, definitely. But also like it's gonna get easier and easier all the time, right? But if there would be like some recommendation that I would give to people who doesn't know too much about NFTs but starts to understand what it is about, then like I would say to go through the process of learning at least how to set up the wallet and how to do those, like how this process works. Because when there is going to be something that you want to buy, you know, you already know how it works, you know how to do it, like, and you're in it. Because like, I just personally can't see it going other way, that NFTs are not working out, we are gonna do something else. Like, I just don't see it. Maybe like some parts of it are gonna die out, whatever. There is gonna be like a NFT winter for those classical, you know, picture projects, you know, that the JPEGs are not gonna have as much value. This of course can happen, but like the utility part and like this like owning digital assets in internet, this is like definitely gonna stay. I think like I just can't see the way it's not, and not because I am so smart, because I believe those smart people who are saying and talking about this like constantly in internet, that we all have like opportunity to listen at all times.
Yeah, and not even set up your wallet, but I mean just spare 100 euros and buy your first NFT, right? Then you know if this would be something for you or not, and at least you're trying it out. I think a lot of people are afraid of missing out in the long term, let's
yeah,
say.
Yeah, but you know what's a bit more like dangerous about like trying out NFTs than crypto? You know, with crypto is this, that okay, I say to my friends that just do this account wherever, you know, and buy Ethereum and Bitcoin, you know. But with NFTs is this problem, right? You can't buy those blue chip projects with 200 euros right now, so you have to take some project. And like, as there is like fucking, I don't know, hundreds of projects every day, there is a huge chance that this project is gonna fail, basically. Let's be honest, like the 95% plus projects are gonna fail in the long run. Like, it just doesn't make sense that they are gonna succeed. So like, it's maybe a bit dangerous also if they're gonna get this like a bad taste from you know, whatever project that they're gonna get into the first. So I think there is this part. It's just like psychologically, even though if the person knows that yeah, there is this risk and stuff like this, it's still like, you know, I think this is how so many people are gonna be claiming that crypto is also scammed, that they bought like some shitcoin, you know, and then it's like fully like they got fucked, and then it's done. But it's definitely worth the research of like the projects and whatever is up there. But this is what I mean, is that I hope that people will find some project that they're not only buying because of the C is going to go up, but it's maybe going to offer them like a community of, I don't know, there's already some like crypto bike clubs and stuff like this. I'm talking from my own perspective, you know, where people are talking about, oh, what bikes I have and stuff like this. So it's like a, it's like somehow the Discord and or this movement is also like a comeback of like the old forums. Do you know what I mean? Like it was gone for some time, right? Like, okay, maybe Reddit was somehow like some version of this. I haven't been actually a huge Reddit user myself, so I kind of missed this like era, but now the Discord is exactly like the forum was, right? It's just like more interactive and like faster moving, but yeah. The community is like also really big factor here, like we already said many times.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, if they're interested in this industry, like, the way you learn is literally by failing, and it sounds like one of those stereotypes, but if you have a fail, like my first five projects were all a fail, right? Like, and then you start to understand like what makes a good project and what makes something that I want to invest in and see something in the long term. So, yeah, I would say like getting your hands dirty is one of the best ways to learn how this industry works, though.
Yeah, definitely. One of the things that I want to also talk about as a maybe concern as in an industry is definitely hype. Like there is so much of this, and like we just can't, like nobody can pretend like there is nothing, and the hype is this that like brings so much people into this somehow, but the hype creates also so much greed right now, as I feel like those projects are just like pumping and then like going down very fast as well. So it's like it's going super unstable in this way that it doesn't feel like a safe place to be in, which are like funds that you're being maybe just investing in some JPEGs, you know. It's like at first when you're doing this or buying your first like pictures, you are like thinking like, what the fuck I'm doing, right? But then when you have like a couple of maybe successful sales or stuff like this, then you're like, oh, okay, it's really working. And then you get some kind of confident, yeah, you get confident in this, but it's still like very, very like, heavy waters to be in.
Yeah. The industry at the moment is, it's a lot of greed. And I think that's also maybe because of the limited amount of people that are into it. Like a lot of people are in there right now to find their profits and kind of, get money quickly, right? And I think that's what we should aim for, is like what projects are going to stay there for the long term and that you just want to invest in for the long term. Right now it's very much about, okay, where can I take quick profits from, right? And that's definitely not good for the industry. So, yeah. I would definitely suggest to always invest in long-term projects. But fear and greed at the moment is definitely a big factor because of the small market cap, I would say.
Yeah. To maybe offer a bit more value to the listener, how are you choosing the projects to invest in, and what are the factors and indicators that you are searching and researching?
Yeah, so as I said, I never invest in projects that I don't believe in. I really want to invest in projects that are long term and that I could see potentially go up in the long term. And if you start breaking that down, then there are a lot of factors, of course, that could go wrong. Especially the longer the time, the more things could go wrong, actually. But one of the core values is definitely the team behind it. So it's the same as when you invest into a startups, right? Like a lot of VCs are saying, like, okay, we don't invest into the product, we invest in the founders and the team itself. I think it's very much the same in the NFT world. Of course, there are other factors, like what are the plans and how do you like the artwork? But these are all like side factors that kind of give an ideal picture of a project, I would say. There's not one factor that says, okay, now I want to invest in it. And I think that's also the nice thing about NFTs. It's quite subjective in the end still. It's not like, okay, this metric shows, okay, this is going to be a long-term project with X amount of return. It's subjective in the part that you like the artwork, you like maybe the shape of the team, like distribution between engineers and designers, for example, or what the founders did in the past. So in that sense, it's very subjective still. But yeah, team is one of the most important, I would say. And then historical data for me is also one of the things that I look at. So for how long has it been in the game? How much volume do we see? How many collectors are holding? These kind of aspects.
Yeah, yeah, the statistics that you can see is pretty unique also. And actually, you can have so much information compared to some other asset groups in NFTs, which is actually very, very handy if you already like know how to read something and you have some experience under your belt. But yeah, definitely the team is very important, and like one of the red flags is definitely when the team is not public, right? It's like a first thing that it's gonna be maybe a rug pull, which means that the founders are just gonna take the money and run away and say that yeah, it didn't work out, because you can't trace them down basically if they're doing it good.
So what about you? What do you look at when you invest in a project?
Yeah, actually, I just exactly the same things. Like it's not so many things to watch, but one other thing that maybe I would say is that there is so many projects that are basically copying the other projects. So I'm looking for uniqueness very much. How it's different, because like it's very easy to look a project to not invest in NFT world, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. It's like those thousands of projects that are also doing apes, right? I look at exactly the same way. I look like, you know, those cheap versions of Nike shirts you can buy from Alibaba or I don't know, some market, that the Nike logo is a bit different but a bit similar, and it's like Nuke, you know, instead of Nike. So it's like I see it exactly the same way, and it's sometimes it's funny to me when I see that people are buying it, and I understand why they are, because they think that oh, this is so similar, it has to work. Like the pattern that they are making is not like valid in my opinion. Like why should it work? Like how? Like we don't need one brand two times. You know, we just gonna have one brand powerfully. And
one good example is if you look at Rolex watches, right? Like if you have the papers of a Rolex watch or without a paper, like it's a big, big difference basically. Like it could be 90% almost. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And yeah, just to see what is in there. But yeah, like right now there is so many people for just investing, like, or like trading, so to say, purpose like is to trade only, then it feels like yeah that the most smart thing to do is to really like only buy into this that brings you also something else, not only the possible investment profits. So yeah, whatever like excites you, probably there is already like forming some kind of community or NFT project behind this. Like there is so many fucking awesome examples of this. For example, there is this Krause House, I think it's called. It's a DAO that's trying to buy an NFT NBA team, which is like a crazy fucking thing to do.
And they're close, I heard.
Yeah, like I think there is some problems with law, because like there can't be so many owners that there would be if you know there is like thousands of but yeah, it's probably gonna be possible somehow. Just needs a bit of lawyers there to do their work. But yeah, there is gonna, like, I guarantee that there is gonna be definitely something that interests whoever you are, you know, whatever you do. Like it's just yeah, worth of research, and maybe there is not so many people in it already now, but that's the big opportunity here, right? If you are in one of the first ones, like you can be the OG.
yep
So yeah, like lots of stuff in this and in this world, I think, so to say. Is there something we haven't talked about?
I don't think so. I mean, of course, we were talking about like this is a very generic entry to the NFT world, and we're trying to try to keep it a little bit more general, right? But I would also love to hear from the people that are listening, like what would they would like to hear and what they would like to go more deeper in. I have the feeling in Tallinn there's a lot of interest at this moment. But we definitely need to work together almost to make their small communities and to make the work to get the word out. I would love to hear from listeners, like what would they like, and if there are any NFT projects here that we can help with, or yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a very big wish. We have to first hope that somebody is listening to us.
Exactly. I guess it's also the combination of the digital connecting with the in real life, right?
So. Yeah. Those two or three listeners that made it so far wrote us and
friends and family.
Yeah, say what you want us to talk about. I think it was a very interesting talk for me. At least I got all hyped up and excited again. And thank you very much for coming.
Thank you too.
Yeah, here and taking the time. Until next time.
Yeah, see you next time. Cheers.
Thank you for listening for the podcast. If you liked it, I don't know, share, subscribe, like, all this stuff. If you have questions to me or Niels, then reach out somehow. Do it. Yeah. Until next time.